Good afternoon. We're going to call to order the meeting of the Architecture Review Committee of December 7th, 2017. If we can have roll call, please.
Member Yule?
Here.
Member Sloan?
Here.
Member Broadway?
Here.
Presiding Officer Mundell?
Here.
And Member McKenzie is excused today.
Thank you. Terry, I think we also have before us the minutes of the October 5th, 2017 ARC meeting.
Mm-hmm.
Do we have any comments, questions?
None.
No. Do I have a motion for approval?
Move to approve.
I'll second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion passes. And then on number four, we have citizens addressing the committee on non-agenda items. And let me take this as an opportunity to just explain to everyone a little bit about what the committee does and what our process is. You probably are aware that this is a fairly new committee to the city. And the purpose of this committee, as you probably are aware, is we have four architectural districts identified within the city of Rockland. Each of those districts are very unique. And the committee's purpose and role is to work with applicants who are desiring to do development projects in the city to develop their architecture such that it is in compliance with the architectural district guidelines. And this committee, by and large, is a recommending body. Typically, their recommendation on the architecture and any building-related type signage is also something that the committee would consider. Would then typically either go to the Planning Commission when the project went forward in the public hearing process as a recommendation, and or may recommend back to the Community Development Director on proposed changes or approvals for proposed architecture. So their focus is very limited. What is not under consideration in these meetings are all the rest of the details of the project. So we don't really discuss matters that have to do with the site improvements or, you know, environmental impacts. It's really limited very much narrowly to the building architecture. And so the items that we have on the agenda is what's under discussion today, unless there's anyone in the public that has another item they'd like to bring to the ARC attention. It appears there are none. So we're going to move into our architectural review items. And the first item we have on the agenda this afternoon is the Nilo Porsche Phase 2 exterior modifications on Granite. It's within a Granite district. It's design review DR 2017-011, and in our process, just so you know, typically the first time a project comes to us, it typically comes to us from staff presenting, the committee discusses it, and if there's changes, then it goes back and staff works with the applicant, and then if it comes back a second time or even a third time, that's usually when the applicant's here. That's not always the case. Sometimes we have the applicants at the very first meeting. I think, Nathan, you're going to present this project today.
Yeah, thank you. Good afternoon. Nathan Anderson with the Planning Department. The project I'll be presenting, as Mark mentioned, is a design review for a facade remodel for the Porsche car dealership. It's located at 4525 Granite Drive within the Granite Architectural District. It's right there between Granite Drive and Highway 80. So the current elevation is shown here. One of the fundamental elements on the east and south elevations is this curved silver fascia, which is similar to the western elevation, which is the front elevation. So you can see it here and here. These are kind of the fundamental thing that carries on that front elevation. The applicant project is proposing to remove that chrome metallic siding on the rear and side elevations of the building, replace it with black trapezium paneling, and paint the building. They call it caviar on there, but it's essentially black. You have the color material board up there that shows what those actually look like. The applicant has stated that Porsche Cars North America has mandated this color scheme as part of the company's national design intent standard. So they're looking to go to this kind of color scheme for most of the buildings within North America. Let me go back. In staff's opinion, though, the existing curved silver design along the freeway really helps to break up the facade and provides visual and aesthetic interest. The proposed modification would essentially replace this with the flat monochromatic wall with very little architectural embellishment or ornamentation. It's not really consistent with the Granite Design District, which it requires a lot of these types of different types of colors, different materials, different types of articulation. None of that's really shown here. Really just kind of makes it a black wall for all intents and purposes. Especially with its proximity to Highway 80, it's very important to maintain developments which present more of a focal piece. You know, we want to really give, to set our best foot forward for people who drive down Highway 80. And, you know, this, in staff's opinion, the removal of this, it wouldn't do that. If the project proposed a modification which retained that existing silver facade on the freeway facing side especially, staff would have been much more likely to support the project. But as is, as proposed, staff does not recommend approval of the project. And we'd be happy to answer any questions you may have.
I have a quick question before the committee, other committee members ask. Can you talk a little bit about the approval process on this particular project? Is this a project that will likely go to the Planning Commission? Does it stop here? Can you talk to that?
Yeah, that's a good question. So this is kind of a different sort of project in that it's in with both an architectural district as well as the automotive overlay. So what the code says is for projects within an architectural district that are also within either the borough zone or the automotive overlay, it doesn't go to the Planning Commission. It's actually a recommendation to the Community Development Director for approval. So this would be a recommendation to the Community Development Director, who ultimately has authority over the project and would approve or disapprove based on this recommendation.
Thank you. So I'll open up to committee members.
Just a quick question. It doesn't appear that we have any images, you know, kind of perspective images from the applicant. Is that correct? Street views or, you know, something besides the elevations that give us.
Of the existing or
of
proposed?
The proposed?
No, no renderings were submitted,
no renderings.
Only elevations.
Okay.
What's that?
It's on the document.
Other than what's here? This is just the project packet.
It was submitted as part of the.
Okay. I apologize. Apparently there were some renderings. I don't have them here. I can run downstairs and grab them really quickly.
Mr. Chair, I would support getting. Yeah, if it wouldn't take too long, I think
it won't take long at all.
Good. I mean.
Yeah, let's do that because I want to make sure the applicant's here. I want to make sure the committee has the opportunity to look at the entire submittal package. So why don't we go ahead and postpone further discussion on this matter so that you have the opportunity to go downstairs. I'm not sure how long it'll take you to print those, and you might even have to – I don't know if you can put them up on a thumb drive so everyone can see them or not. But why don't you do that, and we'll go ahead and just postpone discussion of this for a few minutes while you do that, and we'll move on to the next item. If they were ready to do that.
Thank you.
And also, maybe the applicant might even have a thumb drive handy?
This won't take me long at all.
Okay. All right. Fair.
Yeah.
Okay. And that's okay with the applicant. You're going to have an opportunity to speak as well on this project. We want to just get everything. Okay. Good. So we're going to move on temporarily from item 5 into item 6. Item 6 is the Placer Creek Apartments. Placer Creek Apartments is located within the University District up near William Jessup. And this is design review DR 2017-0006. Again, we're only looking at the architecture proposed in this project, which is apartments. And I think, Dara, you're going to do this presentation.
I will. I'll have it queued up in just a moment. And I apologize. I have a cough drop in my mouth for my cough, which I assumed I'd have time to get rid of. So I'll try really hard not to click. So Placer Creek Apartments, this is their second time before you. Committee members, sorry, Dara Dunworth, Planning Division. It is a proposed 232-unit multifamily development on what is now a vacant piece of land at the future intersection of Wildcat and the future construction of University Avenue. It encompasses a clubhouse and recreational facility building, 8 3-story residential buildings with tandem garages on the ground floor, and some carports. The ARC first reviewed this project on September 5th, providing direction in a very succinct nutshell that a metal element is to be incorporated at the prominent corners of buildings visible from the public rights of way. At that time, the project met several of the other architectural detail items that are required elements through the district, including strong linear emphasis, strong geometric elements, strong voids, strong use of color. What was missing the committee felt were metal panels and surfaces. And so what you have in your packet that was distributed was the applicant's second submittal that came in a few weeks ago that did include a metal siding element. And subsequent to that, staff provided some initial feedback to the applicant, and they were incredibly responsive and have provided some further revised elevations to you. So that is what the hard copy packet is. It is a third iteration. And so what I will present very briefly is the first version that you saw and made the recommendation, the second version that you have in your packet, and then the applicant is here to discuss the current iteration, and we'll present visually the new drawings. So with that, I'll just scroll through this quickly. If you'd like me to slow down or back up, let me know. Here's the site plan, just to orient you briefly, with University Avenue towards the top, Future University towards the top, and I'm sorry, did I say Wildcat? Whitney Ranch Parkway is on the lower right. So this was the original submittal showing street view elevations. This is the second submittal that you have in your packet. And then just going through the three different building types, this is Building A, what was originally shown, the revisions, perspectives, original Building A, the new ones, Building B elevations originally proposed in the packet, perspectives, Building C elevations original proposed, perspectives, finally the clubhouse original and revised, perspectives. This is the second submittal, perspectives, and the carports, which have not changed significantly. So unless there are any questions at this point or comments, I can turn it over to the applicant so they can walk you through what's in the hard copy and tell you about what their latest revisions look like and the design elements that they have incorporated.
We just finished.
I just finished the whole book.
Yeah. So why don't we go ahead and have the applicant come up and present to us the package that we have before us here today.
I'll switch over to their presentation.
Okay.
Oh, I'm sorry. This may not be the first slide. Hold on. Come on. It's thinking. Okay.
Okay. Good afternoon. I'm Ron Metzger with LPAS Architects. We are here representing Allegiant Development, and we're very happy to be here and to receive your comments on this project. As Dura mentioned, the project really is the gateway to the University District, the southern part of that, off of Whitney Ranch, right there on the corner. And so the way we've designed the site is we've lined the street with our buildings to create an urban edge to that project and kind of tuck the parking behind it. And so since our first submittal, we've been working with property managers and the owner to develop, kind of refine the overall palette of materials, the overall program of what's happening in the buildings and in the landscape, and we've incorporated in that our updated submittal. As part of that, we've been looking at the building materials and what we felt would create a more natural, modern palette that would reflect the university district, and how to create accents in that. And we've been struggling a little bit with that, and I think our revised elevations are a big improvement to even what we presented as our resubmittal. So what you are seeing here, this is an overview looking as a bird's eye perspective to the project. So you can see the buildings line the street to create that edge, and there's a pretty generous landscape setback along the street. And then you can see the clubhouse as the focal point of in the heart of the project, and the buildings that form the backdrop behind. So then when you look at what it looks like from the main entrance, so what we've done is one of the comments that we received from our first submittal was to accentuate the corners of some of those main buildings and perhaps introduce some metal panels. And what you are seeing here is our proposal to do that. So at the corners of the main buildings along the street, we have created a sloped roof form with a metal panel system so that it would start to relate more to the metal panels that you would see, such as at William Jessup University. The main entrance is focused on the clubhouse in the background, and it also has that same character with metal panels supporting a sloped kind of butterfly-shaped roof. And then we've also introduced some tile to create more of a bold color accent. So when we're looking at colors, you know, one of the things that we liked the most was creating the buildings are primarily plaster, kind of a very neutral tone of a white, a warm gray, and a deep warm gray. And then which is very contemporary and modern, and we wanted to have that white light look so that it felt very fresh. And then to go along with that, we wanted to have a very natural, warm material. And so we introduced the wood siding. And in this case, it is more of a natural stained wood siding. It's actually cementitious siding, but it has a wood stain character. And then it becomes a balance of how rustic does that want to be. And so our approach is really to keep it very light and very contemporary. And so I've got materials for that. And so what we were looking at is having painted wood siding that would just be flat. And then we thought it would be much nicer to have a stained wood siding that starts to convey that natural character. And as we look at it, it really forms the corners of buildings, kind of internal to the building, and kind of weaves through the building. So, and we're also putting it as the backdrop to balconies. So where residents are coming out onto their balcony, it'll have that nice warm texture that you can touch and feel. In our resubmittal that you received in your packet, we had thought, well, how can we create more accent color and brighter colors through this? And in that approach, we had made the balconies the accent color. And there was a lot of discussion that we had, is like, would you really want to live in a lime green balcony? How would that feel? Or a dark purple balcony or a bright yellow balcony? And at the end of the day, it's like, you know, we're trying really hard to create these colors in ways that aren't really working at all. And so we stepped back and looked at it again and looked at where we felt was appropriate to create that accent color. And where we wanted to use color to bring attention to the building was really at entry points of stairs and breezeways through the building. So you can start to see between the forms of the building an accent color of olive green. That is what we were proposing. We felt that was the most natural complement to the reddish wood tones. One of the challenges that we had is we had looked at doing a much redder material for the wood, but it just started to get very rustic. And so to lighten it up and to make it keep a contemporary character, we were proposing more of a maple look to that. So the elevations that you can see here show the where the kind of reddish appearance is. It is the wood product that you have in front of you. Where you have the angled material or forms, that would be the metal siding. And you can see it forms the entry, kind of flanks both sides of the entry. It also forms the at the intersection corners of Whitney Ranch and University Avenue. So in terms of the metal siding, originally thought, well, you know, let's do corrugated metal or let's do kind of a galvanized finished. And then as we looked at that, you know, that does feel very kind of rough and industrial. And I think where we're feeling is that rather than have that kind of finish, we'd rather have more of a smooth, more refined metal finish. And I've got some metal samples and ones that would be more complementary to the overall palette and not feel so offset from it. So I'll bring those over here, too. So where the building is fairly light and the wood provides a warm kind of glow to the building, the accent colors are in the stair elements, and then the metal panel corners, which being at an angle, start to relate to what we're doing with the shape of the clubhouse as well. The clubhouse being an accent building by itself, then the residential buildings pick up that accent shape and the material of that. So if we look at kind of the overall appearance of the building, you can see where the wood siding wraps around the building. Essentially, we're treating all four sides of the building in the same manner. And then rather than create an accent color inside the balcony, we're letting that wood siding run through it, which we thought made a nice contrast to the more refined metal finish that you would have at those corners. So the residential buildings, one of the things that we also did is we added a lot more glass to them, trying to create as open an area and engaging environment for residents and to have something that felt that way at the street level. So those larger window areas are the living spaces where we have the double windows. Those would be bedroom windows primarily. And then these are some of the larger buildings kind of towards the back. And we've broken them up in plan and in elevation, so they move back and forth as well. So this is the material palette that you have in front of you with the more maple-like siding, the metal. And so we're kind of looking at either the champagne, which is the golder one, or the silver. And rather than corrugated, we're thinking more of a smooth finish. So it would have a more refined, modern look, not so industrial in terms of that wall finish. So you can see the revision to the clubhouse. We've added a Corten tile to the base because while the material is, the palette is fairly light, we wanted the impact of color. So it's a deep kind of orangey, rusty red as you approach the building. And then we've brought in the accent colors there. So there's no woods on this building. It's just the metal, the tile, and the plaster. So as we were going through this process, we also looked at how the buildings relate to the landscape. And we've added more detail to the landscape to look at what plant materials would we have around the clubhouse, how would we engage the clubhouse with the pool, and what might that feel like. And so also looking at how we would introduce color to the landscape. So this starts to show what that palette would be and what the overall landscape amenity package starts to look like. And the same thing at the entryway. We want the entrance to the project from the day it's built to have a strong impact. So we've modified the tree planting with palms, which have a more architectural character on each side and have impact from day one, and then layered it with other kinds of canopy trees and color as you come in. So that really kind of wraps up the overall change. It was really looking at how to make the material palette read in a more sophisticated way and how to use color in a more sophisticated way than I think we were still struggling a little bit when we made our resubmittal on that. So that's where we're at.
Great. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
So I'd like to open it up to the committee members. I know they may have questions for staff or the applicant.
I have a just quick question for either, actually. But did you, well, the applicant, did you, when you referenced the wood, again, that is that is considered the decorative veneer. Is that the same piece or not? In this color palette, a couple slides back.
Oh.
That decorative
veneer. Was it on the clubhouse or was
it? Yeah, I think it's what it is. It's
on the clubhouse, we'd be looking at a Corten tile.
So, okay.
So and so it rather than using wood, which is has a lighter feel to it, we wanted something that had more weight to it. And we looked at like a deep brick, but brick seems kind of we see a lot of brick, and it's kind of an easy solution. The kind of rich, and it would be a big format 12 by 24 tile, has a more contemporary character, and it's a little more unique, we felt.
And I thought I heard you say that you were considering like this color or a different color. Maybe I misheard that. Is this color that represents?
Yeah.
That is the color.
That is the color,
that you
yeah.
recommend.
Yeah. When we were working on it, we thought, well, let's maybe make it more red. And, you know, as we were looking at it and looking at other examples that use this kind of palette, it was feeling too lodgy. And we want to keep it modern and contemporary. And really a lighter wood, I think, works much better
so
in that way.
Are those tile? Is that, how is that?
Oh, for the tile veneer?
For the decorative veneer, yeah.
That would be a 12 by 24 tile, yeah, at the clubhouse. It's only used at the clubhouse.
Got it,
yeah.
Okay.
And it's a smooth finish. It has a Corten finish, so it has a kind of a patina of kind of a rust look to it.
And then the wood veneer, those are tiles too.
No, those are those come in planks like siding, but it's a cementitious siding material. So most projects that you see, commercial projects that have a lap siding, it would be a cementitious siding. But now they've been able to develop those with a stained wood finish instead of a paint or solid color finish.
And then what is there a life expectancy on that finish? Obviously, I'm sure there is of some sort, but
I would imagine it has a warranty of probably 20 years. It does have a 20-year warranty.
But like unlike paint, I mean, paint you can repaint.
Yes.
What happens over 20 years in something like this?
You know, I do not know if it gets damaged or how you would repair it or how you would if you needed to freshen it up. I don't know the answer on that one.
Okay.
In 20 years, yeah.
So, but I mean, if it got to the point where it was discolored or something, I mean, like your only option would be to replace it, not to refinish it, is what I guess.
No, I think your option would be to refinish it. And so then at that point, I guess we'd have to look and see if there is an approved finish from the manufacturer that would keep that stain, or if we would have to go to a more opaque finish, like a paint, that could replicate the same kind of color and warmth in that at that time.
I mean, and to staff, that scenario of maintenance, is that often an issue when you're looking at applications?
Well, I think as the representative indicated, you know, that cementitious type of material in and of itself is a very, well, I was going to use the word hardy, but, mm-hmm. you know, there's a brand that we're very familiar with, Hardy Plank or Hardy Siding. Mm-hmm. That is a very durable product that we increasingly are seeing everywhere for all kinds of reasons, mm-hmm. not just maintenance reasons. In terms of applying a refresher finish to that material, I'm not familiar with that either. I think what you've indicated would be my assumption as well, is that you'd have to go back in and whether you are able to apply some type of stain. I don't know what that process is, if it's just a paint or a stain. I think as long as whenever that finish, you know, I imagine certain exposures are going to probably mm-hmm. weather slightly differently than other exposures. I think what we would want to do is at that point in time, you know, we would look at it, and as long as they were replacing the finish like for like and it was close enough, it wouldn't be an issue for us. If they came in or we went out there and it was like something dramatically different, we would have a conversation with them about that at that time and say, wait a minute, this is way outside of what we ever originally approved and talked about. So I don't personally perceive that as an issue. I think one way or the other it gets resolved. I just don't know the answer of how yet.
Well, in looking at that material, it looks like it's baked or somehow.
It is a factory
like
finish.
A kiln or,
And so, you know, one of the things that when we were looking at things, you know, in our very first submittal, we had painted a painted siding. So you'd have to install the siding and then apply a paint to that. And then you'd have to repaint it on a periodic basis. So this is not that. This is a factory finish that does not require painting or that kind of that same level of maintenance. So it should last significantly longer than if a paint. So painting, you'd have to repaint because it would fade much faster on a pretty regular basis. We are not anticipating having to do that. Then the question is, after the warranty period, you know, 20 years down the road, I don't know that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't have any other questions.
Any others? No. Is there any members of the public that would like to speak to this proposed project? Seeing none, I'd like to hear some comments from the committee in terms of its thoughts and where you'd like to go with this project. Any recommendations, concerns, questions that you wanted, revisions, et cetera?
Outside of Mary Yule's comments, I really don't have any. I'm ready to support this and move it for the review of the Planning Commission.
I feel like it's a huge improvement over the previous product. I'd like to commend the staff and the architect for putting this together and the developer. I think it's an excellent product, and yeah, I'm willing to support it.
Okay. I, too, think it's a huge improvement. Thank you for the extra effort. And I think it just big picture look, I think it fits well in the architectural scheme that we've agreed to. So I would be willing to support it, too.
And I have to agree. I think the architect's comments were spot on. I think the original submittal was very stark, although very interesting from a form perspective and remaining interesting from a form perspective, amassing and a strong, you know, positive and negative features to it. Very much what's looked for, I think, in the university district. I think the second version, you know, you had some stronger colors, as you describe, and I think your comments about, you know, how would somebody like living on a balcony with such a strong green-type color replace it with a much warmer feel of a material and a color. I think it's a huge improvement, and I also commend staff and the applicant for taking a little more time and working through this. I don't know that we have another product in Rockland like this, and should this project go forward, I think it would be, you know, pretty exciting to see that coming out of the ground. So kudos to you guys. So I'm looking for a motion of support.
I'll make a motion.
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion passes unanimously. So thank you so much, Darrell. Let's move back to, I think, Nate, you have what you need now. Let's move back to Mercedes. And again, we apologize for that. Hopefully we found what we needed. And
yeah, we did. Thank you.
I'm sorry, Mercedes. Porsche.
I appreciate the patience on it. Yeah, it was a fairly big project packet, but as Mark pointed out at the very beginning, we're really kind of focused just on the architecture, so I left the floor plans off. But this is what was being mentioned. Let me bring it up to the full size. This is the rendering which was provided by the applicant. It shows that black trapezium paneling on the rear and the side of the building as requested.
Okay, so do we have any questions for the committee members of staff? I know we're going to get to the applicant in a second.
So I guess I have a question. Maybe you can explain. I mean, clearly staff does not support the architecture as is, and there's been some back and forth with the applicant on various ideas, and the applicant has determined that this is the building type they want to push forward.
Again, it's a corporate branding kind of thing. The applicant is pretty determined that this is the color scheme. There were some comments from staff initially that stated that if they were to retain that curved chrome piece on the rear and on the side, staff would be more likely to support, but this is what they ultimately want.
Thank you.
So we'd like to hear from the applicant.
Good afternoon. My name is Steve Schauer. I'm the project manager for the Nilo Company. And I think it's important that I introduce who's with me, because that's where the responsibility is going to fall. This is Derek Nilo, the company controller, Kevin Chang, and Patrick Nelson. They're our architects. The general manager of Porsche is Todd English. And his parts and service manager is Rob Payne. And this is Rick Kramer, and he is with Porsche Cars Northern California. So I think I'm going to have Kevin come up, and your questions are better answered by our architect than me.
Hi, I'm Kevin with Murakami Nelson, and as Nathan discussed, we decided to move forward with this scheme. Of course, we respectfully received all the comments from staff. This is the direction that Porsche Cars North America wanted to pursue, and we just wanted to get kind of an official reaction from the Architectural Review Committee since we had to go through this process. It's not a secret, we have talked back and forth with planning about an alternate scheme, which does keep the curve, but we kind of need an official ruling on the submitted one as well, just to kind of go through the process. And I can either answer any questions you might have. The alternate scheme does involve keeping the curve, but still maintaining most of the materials submitted here.
Okay, I have a question, and I'm sorry. So the fascia on the front of the building on the granite side, that remains?
Remains.
Yeah, to be clear, that's not. So
correct.
I snuck onto your property and took a picture there, and got out of there before I had to buy a car, which was a good thing. But the so it's it this bat that it's that currently. Do you have a picture of the? I mean, so we got because what struck me is I didn't think there was a. Yeah, I mean, that's what exists now.
Correct.
And so it, you know, going to kind of a more of a flat, monolithic look, right? Mike, well, sounds like you, somewhere in your hip pocket, have maybe an alternate sort of design. But I always want to respect corporate branding. It's important. And sometimes those worlds collide between, you know, architectural review boards and oftentimes it's things are accomplished by, you know, maybe just making it a little more subtle, some happy medium, mm-hmm. getting you to where it has that look and feel. Is that one in your hip pocket? Something that could maybe achieve that?
Should we? Do you want to see it now, or are there?
I think it's, if you have that information, you know, the committee has asked the question. I think it's fine to show that.
I don't have it available on the screen. Okay.
So you're essentially replacing the gray block block structure with the black matted. Yeah.
Nathan, can you pull up the proposed drawing on the screen as the applicant has proposed so that we can see side by side the two of those images, the rendering that they gave us? Thank you. No, that's okay. Right, I think right where it's at, it's clear for us.
So I guess I'll kind of wrap up a final questions. This new scheme is being requested by North America Porsche, correct? I mean, for all dealerships?
The proposed one on the screen, yes.
Yeah.
That I believe it's like that at Sonnen, mm-hmm. Porsche in Marin.
Okay. And I just also want to say to Nilo Porsche that you're very good neighbors and we're very glad that you're here. Our job as the architectural committee is to see if it fits in this architectural area that we've created, and also sensitive to the fact that you're existing there, and it's always awkward sort of grandfathering something or changing the rules. But I really like that design. I think it looks great. I think though, arguably it may not really fit as well into what the city council and planning commission have agreed to is for the architectural zone. And, I guess I would just, say it sound, it's just to be clear, it sounds like, is that a secondary proposal? Is that something that would be approved by the corporate or not? What are the steps if we were to?
We've discussed it with corporate, yes.
Okay.
And they're verbally have approved it.
Okay. All right. I don't have any other questions.
So just to confirm, the initial proposal you had takes this building and 2/3 of it would become essentially black. Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay. So what I did, first of all, when this packet came to us, I couldn't find anything online about your organization's change, Porsche North America, Porsche of California. Couldn't find anything that talked about this change, which is kind of surprising for me. If you're going to change your marketing, you don't have much information out there about this change. So I was kind of interested in really what caused the shift in direction and why are you going in that direction. And then I started to pull up the different sites in California, Redwood City and some of the other sites. Has this been proposed there as well? You mentioned one site, but for these other sites, are you already in the process of presenting those? I know we have a representative for California here. What is the response in the other areas in relationship to this? Because I can tell you the other thing I did is I pulled up a bunch of black buildings and started to look at what that visually does to an area, because I wanted to have a sense, as Mr. Yule pointed out, that we look to the fit and how that works within the area. And so a black building certainly is a significant change from what we have there and what we're trying to accomplish with Granite Drive and that area. So can it help me, if you could, a little bit understand what is the motivation of moving towards a kind of a black type design for the buildings, and then what has your experience been thus far in California for bringing that forward? Because again, if this design that we have today is what you have currently and you're moving towards black, it's a significant change, and I would think that other communities are also looking at that and does it fit and how do we make that work? So can you speak to that?
So
and if you wouldn't mind, just approach the mic so we can get that place. Thank you.
I'm Rick Kramer. I'm the Area Network Development Manager for the region, for the area, for the country. So what you're seeing there, that black denotation is the way that the global brand denotes the service operation in those elements. So that's a change that's been implemented, I guess, the last couple of years now globally. So as we renovate stores, as we build new projects throughout the country, that is the way the element is being executed in our stores for service. So you'd see that in any new site nowadays. So what's happening unique with the Nielo team is they're trying to achieve a goal, a program participation goal, of having this store renovated to its current generation. They've already completely renovated and replaced the entire front facade, and now we're working towards the rear and the side, and that is our current generational design, and they're trying to achieve that goal. So that's the purpose of it.
Okay.
So they're not required. Stores are not required to do that until they go through renovation or expansion or what have you, or new build for that matter.
Okay. Have you experienced any renovations in California as an example, and have you had success in completely converting them over to this new design?
Absolutely, yeah.
Okay.
All new projects have achieved that goal. I haven't had any that have argued or had to make an exception. But again, I want you to see the flexibility in Porsche here. Mm-hmm. We've already vetted this out, and we're being flexible to your standards as well for the city. So,
can I ask if you have an example off the top of your head of one of the sites in California that you've already gone to this architecture on? I could just pull it up on my computer. I'm just curious what it looks like.
Like a new build? So Porsche Beaverton would be new?
Yeah, I think more. I'd be more interested in anything that's been renovated as opposed to, because a new build, you're coming in and oftentimes you're in a new area that may be developing as opposed to a developed area, which is what we have here.
Right. So most of the projects I have are new builds. This renovation project was because the NEALA team chose to achieve a program standard, and that's why this was imposed.
Okay.
I have a question just for clarification. I think I know the answer, but I'd like to confirm it with you. The existing building at the rear, if I look at the board that's to your left, you'll notice that you have the metallic panel stretched across the back of the building, and then you have in the back set of it that higher black wall, right? You see how that comes across like that? Okay. When I look at that image, it's very, very flat wall. There's no height to the wall. Nothing stretches over. And when I look at that rendering, it's just the metallic panel that goes across the entire back of the wall. There is no other portion that's higher. I want to make sure I'm clear. If you were to move forward with retaining some type of panel, would it look more like that image or more like that image?
This is the problem with architectural drawings. So the flat image actually occurred. This part is beyond, and it occurs back here. So you're looking at an elevation of this, and the high wall is this wall. The high wall that you're seeing back here is this wall back here. Mm-hmm. So it's way back.
So when you look at what we're not he's saying, it's this wall here.
I see.
You're seeing.
Thank you. Thank you.
So it is truly like that.
Yeah, I got it. So you would have shaded that lighter or something to show that it's,
right.
Yeah, I got it.
We want just the true
elevation. Okay. Okay, thank you.
But this is a 2D.
Yeah.
So I do have one you can look up. Redwood City Carlson Porsche is going through renovation expansion, and they are doing exactly the same thing. Building out the black squared off surface denotation in that materiality and form. You probably are going to see that they're in construction, but that is the end result, identical. On the freeway, by the way, facing the freeway. Same thing, if that helps.
At the old building.
Correct. That's why I use that as an example. Currently, it's the exact same as the yellow design where they have a rear-facing facade that's a curve. That's been completely replaced by that. It's perfect. It's the exact same example of what we're doing.
And Nathan, again, I want to make sure I'm clear on the process here. The committee, whether it recommends denial of the request or approval of the request, or denial of the alternative scheme or approval of the alternative scheme, they're making a decision on one or the other, or making a rendering on both, rendering a decision on both, and that recommendation ultimately goes back to the community development director for final decision.
Yeah, essentially in light of this second version, you could make a recommendation on either, and that would be a recommendation to the community development director for approval or disapproval if he so chose. This is, again, a recommending body, but that would be the ultimate approval.
Thank you.
So could we go to all black on the curved elements as another compromise, another alternative? Get the black, but you also get the curvature. Just kind of brainstorming.
The material. Where is that palette, by the way? Is that gonna, the, again? The black material is. Is it? Does it cast a glare, or is it more of a matte finish?
It's matted.
Right. Do you guys agree with that?
They actually have it on the building now. On the other portion.
Yeah.
It exists. More matted, I would say, than it is gloss.
It's not glossy.
Yeah. It's matte.
Yeah, it's kind of satin finish.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's paint. It's not a, right? You're just painting it.
Well, but parts of the building will be painted, and other parts are going to be that corrugated metal, and we call it trapezium. That is the siding. It has also the matted finish.
Yeah. But, yeah.
So the block is painted, and the trapezium is that metal panel.
Right.
If you will.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if I have any more questions per se, other than you, Carl, just asked a question about the, you know, that fascia being black or something too. Is that something you want to pursue or a little more deeper? Or?
Well, I guess my gut feel is there's not enough information here for me personally to approve a project today. I feel like there's more compromising conversation to be had between the planning staff and the applicant is kind of my feel. I think having the planning team on board is really important because they have a clear understanding of what the architectural goals are there. So, you know, personally, I'd like to see something come back that has that compromise and that nexus. I agree with the planning staff on the initial proposal here. But I guess I feel like the secondary proposal, although, you know, I could probably get behind that, there may be another compromise to be had there, something different with the fascia that maybe gets closer to what the corporate is trying to achieve, but also meets the architectural guidelines a little bit better. So that's kind of where I am.
May I say something briefly? The applicant, Mr. Schauer, reached out to me a few days ago and stated that it's very important that they move forward with either a recommendation for disapproval or a recommendation for approval. Being that this is the recommending body and that it's a community development director approval, they would ask that it a recommendation be made that maybe staff can work with the community development director and the applicant to at least steer towards one or the other to get them to an ultimate approval because they are in a hurry, all things considered.
I would say in that case, I would disapprove this. The initial proposal would be my position.
So my question would be, Carl, I'm sorry, I don't mean to step on you. You good? Okay, so given what they've proposed as the change as an alternative and reading your staff report, am I to conclude that you would be supportive of the proposal given this change to the service area?
If they maintain that rear silver portion and it provides that articulation that I believe is shown there, I haven't studied it in too much detail, but we've had some conversations about this offline, and this appears something. Let me show Brett as well, because
the short answer is yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
We staff will be in support.
Okay. And I gather that's essentially, Carl, what you're kind of looking for too is to understand if staff is in support, and we want to certainly support you in your direction and understanding of where we're going. I do become concerned when I see large black walls, just like any type of design that's brought to us when there's not a lot of anything to that outside of a wall, and especially a black wall. I will tell you that the elevation, I want to say, is it the north elevate? Is it north elevation of that wall that is up against the hotel next to it? There's very little visibility from the freeway. I didn't go in the parking lot because I was afraid I'd have to buy a car, but I did drive by and I did take a look at that. There's not a lot of visibility there. So in tying it all together, I understand your direction and wanting to bring that together. I do much more prefer what you've done in the service area, though I understand there's a desire for that black, and I love the Porsche, the name, and the way it sticks out with that black there, but I do like it to be broken up and kind of the design that we have there now. So, you know, with this, I do believe, with staff agreeing, I mean, I feel I can support this with the proposed changes and maintaining that design at the rear for the service area.
So it sounds like just procedurally we need to deny the deny it. And
the initial.
And the initial. So I'm going to move to deny the initial submit offering.
Do we have a second?
A second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed likewise? Okay, so your original submittal has been denied, and that will go back as a recommendation to the community development director. I would like to hear what the committee feels, though, about the alternative approach that we've seen, if that could be supported.
I understand expediency is, you know, getting this done is important, and I mean, if there's a way that we could, you know, look at approving that maybe from the architectural committee, would that bypass any more time for the staff?
There won't. It's not an issue of time. If the committee feels that they can support the alternative design, the community development director could approve it tomorrow.
So I would like, if you don't mind, Scott, I'd like Carl's thoughts on what you see, and given staff's support, what do you think?
Honestly, I'm really on the fence about that design personally. I don't like the I'm not a huge fan of the contrast between the silver and the black, but at the same time, I feel like it meets the general architectural guidelines, and if staff supports it, you know, I'll support it.
Okay. And again, one of my key concerns was the amount of black, and basically going with 2/3 of that building, and this the rear of that, though I understand, you know, it's a design that you're pursuing. I just didn't feel that there was a fit, and I agreed with staff. So if this is something staff feels with the change you can support, I certainly would support it as well.
Yeah, I want to certainly strike that balance of being supportive of your corporate needs, and I respect Porsche's ability to market Porsches, and, you know, don't want to hinder that by any means. But if that's a reasonable compromise, I too would support it, and I would be prepared to make a motion to support. I don't know how we can do that. Point of order, can we approve?
So the committee's recommended denial of the original submittal, and now the committee is considering the alternative submittal, and the committee would make a recommendation on that alternative submittal.
Yeah, but there is no rendering in the packet or anything like that.
The minutes will reflect. It will be the submittal as presented at the hearing.
Okay.
The alternative submittal at the hearing.
If that works, then I would move to approve the secondary submittal.
And I will second.
And before we vote on that, I'd like to make one comment. You know, sharing some of the comments, or kind of reiterating some of the comments that were made about the black box. You know, the black box, perhaps in and of itself, is somewhat of a simplified, more elegant, streamlined way of putting less focus on a building, perhaps, and more focus on what really in your vehicles are works of art, right? They're the standard in terms of automotive design, and have been. They're a timeless standard. But the reality for us as well is not everyone who wants to do a black box will do so as elegantly or have a product that will represent itself so well, and we could end up with a lot of black boxes. And so I think, as the committee's already stated, adding some articulation or keeping some articulation to that prior element continues familiarity of the Rockland Porsche dealership and still allows it to be upgraded and continues it to fit within the district. And so I also think that's a good suggestion. So I would say all in favor of the alternative submittal, indicate by aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion passes unanimously. Thank you.
Thank you.
If I may, thank you, very much appreciate you working with staff. And again, as everyone has stated, understanding your desires on that. We love having you here in Rockland, and we thank you for what you do and your contributions. Plus, I'm hoping one of those days I am walking in there to talk with you guys about buying one.
Yeah, and I hope that black building now improves your sales by 20-30%.
Right.
So.
Thank you.
All right, so moving on, I think we have one remaining item of business on the agenda today. We have, item number 7, the wayfinding sign program. This is a proposed citywide wayfinding program. This is the first time the committee is going to be reviewing what has been submitted, and I think Justin's here to present staff's approach. Just let's give him a minute to get set up.
Good afternoon, Justin Nurker, Director of Public Services. This is a very unique position for me to be in today, to be before this body. Usually we're the do it group, not the design it group. So, as we get, I'm just pulling up an aerial. In your packet today, you'll see a couple renderings that we have. At the end of our discussion, so I'm going to talk to you about what I want first, right, so that you can keep that in your mind, and then at the end of it, we'll come back to that. We're looking for more direction regarding proposed locations, content, and sign style. The wayfinding project was approved as a part of the City Council Strategic Plan 2016 to 2021, item 1.9, traffic enhancements and upgrades, 1.9F, asks staff to oversee the design and construction of wayfinding signs specifically for the Cory District area. Now, when looking at...
I can't see Rockland on that map.
It's a common... You're going to have this falling. Hopefully nobody's scared of heights because we're going to fall right into Rockland here in a second. So specifically for the Cory District, when we were looking at proposed locations, right now we have two signs on Pacific Street, one coming from the Roseville direction, one coming from the Loomis direction. As people are coming in, that introduces them to the Cory District. Staff did a great job a couple years ago of putting these signs together. I think it really meets the intent of the Cory District. If you're not familiar with those signs, I'm going to just drop in here real quick. Because Google Earth does, unlike the Porsche dealership, it does show the sign that was constructed. And, of course, I grab an image that doesn't. How funny is that? I wonder if I switch side. Okay. Maybe this isn't going to agree like it did earlier today. I'm on the wrong side of the street. Okay. See, what's funny is you can see it right there. That is our sign right there that I'm trying to show you guys. There we go. Perfect. Right out of the street, you get that. So this Cory District sign welcomes everybody. The point of the wayfinding program now is now that we have people in the district, we want to direct them to specific amenities within the district. The general plan relationship to this strategic element tells us to promote and renew as needed the Pacific Street, Rockland Road, Sunset Boulevard, Granite Drive, Lone Tree, Blue Oaks, and Highway 65 corridor business districts in order to provide diversified business opportunities and greater pedestrian orientation. the goal of staff, as we were looking at this wayfinding program and looking at where we could put signs that would promote or direct people, we wanted to make sure that we supported and promoted a distinct identity for Cory District, that we raised community and visitor awareness, that we directed visitors from our major transportation arteries, that we enhance visitors' and residents' ability to easily navigate the Cory District and find desired destinations, including parking. Increase the success and market potential for retail, dining, the arts, entertainment, economic growth, redevelopment, and adventure in the Cory District. I can't leave that part off. And then support the city's commitment to Cory District economic growth and redevelopment. So in your packet, you have, and I don't have a slide for this, you have a couple renderings of some signs that have been put together by staff using some of the color palettes that have kind of been approved for city use. And it's not saying that we're restricted to these, but it was a point for us to start on what this would look like. And coming to you today is to get the discussion started about what your expectations are, because my staff, we're not familiar with this group. We're not in a design game, so to speak, but we enjoy working with planning, and this was identified as a step to get some of your feedback and your input as far as where these signs would be located and what they might look like. As far as content, when you look at different municipalities, some municipalities have the ability to point to a specific area to find food, to find a lot of dining. When you take a look at a map of our Cory District, it's kind of spread out. It's a little bit more difficult because from a municipal standpoint, we can't point to a Rubino's. We can't point to a specific Granite Rock Grill for our wayfinding program. Perhaps if this was a chamber program, or if there was a commercial district that was set up here and they could promote specific locations, but as a municipality, we can promote areas. We can promote the amphitheater. If we wanted to, we could promote the Amtrak location or the post office or City Hall, our fire stations. We've got Johnson Springview Park. If you take a look at the aerial that was provided, if you can get your bearings on where Pacific Street is located, it kind of runs through the center portion of the map, Rockland Road. You can identify it with the roundabouts. Staff proposed putting some of these wayfinding signs near Johnson Springview Park so that when people are coming in for baseball tournaments or roller hockey or disc golf or whatever else, as they're leaving that venue, we could try to direct them more towards the central part of the Cory District. We do have a couple locations that are proposed that are outside of the Cory District boundaries that potentially have the ability to have the look and feel of the Cory, depending on this body's recommendations. That's at I-80 and Rockland Road. Where we would be, people would be coming off the freeway, and we would be able to direct people towards the Cory District. The asterisk with that is that we would have to work with Caltrans. Caltrans, that's their right of way, and in order for us to put the signs in, have to meet certain reflectivity measures. The California Manual on Uniform Traffic Control Devices specifies the materials that we can use for such a sign. And so we might not have the flexibility that we want there, but it's something that we can look at and work with Caltrans to see if we can come up with some compromises to hopefully get the same feel and point people in the right direction. So not knowing the format of this group, I didn't know if it would be more of a discussion or back and forth. I'm prepared to answer any questions, but I am looking for some direction to help us prepare maybe some other exhibits or options to come back to this group at a later date.
So, committee, recall that this is not specifically part of your purview per ordinance, but we've discussed before from time to time when it comes to design issues, we want to bring those to you. So,
yeah, okay. I mean, I defer to our chair to outline the procedure, but I find it to be a little more informal and a little more back to back. So, my take on this committee, I'm not so sure of where these signs go, where they should be placed in the city. It was really the purview of this committee. Or at least I didn't spend much time thinking about where they go. I think those have to be through the traffic engineers and probably have a better recommendation. But as far as the design element of the signs, I would think that's certainly ours. Something that's missing on these sign examples is really the post or the posting, or that could as much as change. I mean, that could dramatically change the look of any sign if it's put on a stick or put on something. So, has there been any thoughts to how you're gonna, where you're gonna?
No, I think the staff, when we've been looking at where these might be located, generally speaking, we've been looking at the black finished poles and looking at connecting it to existing infrastructure as opposed to erecting new poles and so forth for this. So we've been looking at areas that we could use existing infrastructure or existing light poles that have the black powder coated type finish. So that's what we've been looking at, but that type of input would be, if we're looking, if you want to see options for the sign posts, and we would be putting those freestanding in different locations, that would definitely give us something to look into and look for options, because as of right now, it's just been the black powder.
For me, it seems that I would have to I'd really have to see the structure or the mounting structure on any of these, because it would dramatically change. And then also, some of these are, flip side to some of these? And if not, if there is no information on there, how is that finished, or is it just exposed? And is this, these are metal, I assume, that just like a street sign would be?
Yeah, we are used to working with metal, and that's what we had proposed for this.
Yeah. But it's a graphic that whatever that process is of overlaying that, and are they're reflective and a little bit?
So we would be proposing, because we see these being used at night by not only pedestrians but vehicles, we look at them being retro-reflective. As of right now, we haven't proposed any locations that might have upward lighting, but it would be retro-reflective, so car lights would be able to see these at night and be able to use them effectively.
So is there something specific that staff is asking this committee to address? I mean, is it the fonts or the dimensions or colors?
Right now, we're at this point, we're just looking for general feedback. We're at the very start of this. And I think before we start going in any one direction, any general feedback would be appreciated.
Yeah, I think, if I may, Scott. the first thought I had, it's interesting you made the comment about how they're attached, where they're going to be attached. That's the first question I have, is if these are going to be attached to a light pole or we're going to install a structure that they'll be attached to, is that going to be just a single pole? Is it going to be a double pole? Or if you look at the signage that we have in place at both ends of Pacific, you have granite posts on each side. So that's a little different look. I will tell you, in just looking at the four signs we have here, I would just get rid of page 43 completely, because you lose the granite at the top of the gray sign, and the green, that pea green sign just doesn't really do anything at all for me. So then I go to the top two, and that speaks very well to Rockland. I think there's things you could do with it. I actually like the darker sign on the left, but if you use that brown coloration to it, I think it'd look great. And I think you could have some challenges with the what is the name of the highlighting in the corners. They've got a name for that. I think that actually you lose your directional signs when you put those there. So if you look, you have directional signs left and right, and you can actually lose, especially if the arrows are too close to it, you can lose those when you're looking because it directs your eyes. So just a few thoughts that I had, not that we're going to make decisions at that level. I'm probably getting a little too deep in the weeds here. Right. Scott will tell me I do it too often.
No, I wouldn't.
I appreciate the weeds.
Not in public.
So, but that's kind of the thought is it really how do we attach it? Do we attach it to a pole? And I think if you do that, it certainly makes sense because they're directional. They're going to be in different areas of Rockland. If you do that, then how does that look and how does it fit with the sign? I also have to speak for the guy that's sitting up here wearing glasses. I'm sorry, Mark, you are as well. But the 10x6 sign, of course, is more appealing to me. It's larger. It's easier to see. I use these for reading, but when I'm driving, the larger the sign, the better. So just a few of my thoughts on it, but I do like what I see here, and I love the signs at the both ends of Pacific. I think those are great. I think they're very unique and speak to the Quarry District, and the closer we are to that, which is why I think the brownish coloration in the background is really kind of nice, but the design to the left is a little cleaner and more direct and specific, though that may not be something that is appealing to the other members. That's kind of my thoughts.
Carl, you've got one. I have some follow-up questions on that, too, so please go ahead.
I'd have to say I agree with most everything Ken said regarding deleting the page with the pea green sign and so on. But, Justin, I want to say thank you for bringing this forward. I mean, it's really thoughtful, I think, of the city to bring this forward to the committee for consideration. I want to, I guess, throw my two cents in here. To me, one of the important aspects is where are we sending people to, right? And I think in this case, we've got some references to the post office, probably not incredibly critical that people know where the post office is, just my opinion, but more the location of the signs is really going to depend on what we're focusing the wayfinding on, which I'm sure you guys are thinking about. Amtrak station, Quarry District, amphitheater, as you suggested, all critical in reinforcing the idea of the Quarry District. And I guess in addition to that, one of the things I like about the 4x10 sign on page 42, is that at the bottom of it, it says Quarry District, so it kind of reinforces that idea that you're in the bounds of the Quarry District, you're heading to the Quarry District. It's a separate place, a distinct place. So, yeah, those are kind of my thoughts.
And thank you for bringing that up because I did miss that piece that mentioned that I actually like that, and it's separate in the way the signage is designed, so it really stands out. So thank you for bringing that up because I do think if there's a way to do that, whether it's the larger sign for people like me or just that design is kind of nice. So thank you for pointing that out. I do like it.
Yeah, that was actually going to be my question. And the usage, are these being offered as two different size signs that might be used unilaterally, or would we incorporate two different size signs depending upon where they're placed? And I'll let you answer that, I guess.
So the way I see this moving forward is by getting this basic input, and I really appreciate everything that you've said so far, and I'm taking a bunch of notes. I see us doing multiple different types of signs. We've got our gateway signs. We've got our wayfinding signs that are going to be for vehicular use. And then I can see us maybe doing some other wayfinding signs that are a little bit smaller and more specific as you get to your destination, specifically regarding what's going to be on the back of these signs. I had a different slide and it did not get in. I must have not sent it to Terry, but on some of the backs of the signs, depending on where they're located, if there was something up the road, there was additional directional signs. But on others, it would be some form of artwork, something that was of historic content. The Historical Society has provided us with a lot of different older photos. I don't know if you've seen the recent car that we did for the 125th celebration. We've wrapped that, and it has different mining themes to that on a Chevy Spark. You know, so we've got that old and new going on. But depending on the sign and its location, we would try to incorporate something artistic on the back if it's not going to send someone down to the next venue.
Okay, well, just my quick 2 cents on that. I don't know how I feel about that. I don't know. I think that could look kind of strange or bad in a hurry if it's not done right.
You know? Okay.
I think simple, tasteful, and the focus on the sign would be more important to me. But kind of getting back to the size of the signs, it would make sense that different size signs fit, you know, in different locations. And like Carl and Ken pointed out that, you know, I like the district listing at the bottom. So whether you use multiple size width signs, I like the design of that 4x10, the red one, better, whether it's 6 feet or 4 feet wide. Of course, and you'd have areas where we don't have a district. Maybe would these signs be in areas where they're not in a formal architectural district, correct?
Well, and actually that's something I wanted to mention is, Justin, I think you should – one of the nice things about being on a committee now is it's not just like I'm a staff member talking to you. It sounds like it might carry more weight somehow. I think you need to take a step back and do something slightly more comprehensive. Ideally, actually, I would suggest that we consider hiring an expert to do these designs, not that we don't have in-house experts, but you'll recall the package I had previously sent you. One of the things that's in that package is it shows on a single page, for example, signs that are – it'll show an example of a street light with the sign mounted on the street light with a pedestrian next to it so that you can understand at one time relative scale – it'll show a sign that's mounted on a post. And so there's, you know, 2, 3, or 4 different sign types that then correspond with a drawing that shows where those sign types go. And it gives everyone a good relative scale. When you show it just this way and you put dimensions on it, I will tell you firsthand, it's very difficult to understand. This is not a criticism. It's just as we're talking. It's very difficult to understand what that means. I'll give you an example. I've done some projects where I remember one time I did a project where we were doing, large plants, those baskets that hang, and you have an arm that hangs them. I originally designed it, I think, what felt right at about 2 foot by 2 foot. And when I did a mock-up and I brought it on the pole, it was super diminutive. So all of a sudden it had to become like 4 foot by 4 foot. And then when you look at it on the pole, it's like you don't even notice it. It's almost any time you're dealing at that scale, and you probably already know that. Showing in a relative scale to a pedestrian or to a car with a light pole, it's very important. And that's one thing I would highly recommend putting on it. The other thing is, I think this is equally important. Right now we're largely talking about Quarry District, but I think we're talking about a city-wide wayfinding program. And so we are going to be moving towards, I'm sure, different sign, you know, the different architectural districts. And I think a fundamental question for this committee is, does it see all the signs, regardless of district, being the same in terms of size, the type of sign, same size, same color? The only difference is we say university district versus quarry district. Do the sizes of the signs or the design of the sign change depending on the district that it's in because it further reinforces the nature of that district? I think those are questions you guys need to think about, and I would love to see you come back. Even though we don't – right now the immediate is the quarry district, I like to get a sense of – where that's headed, because, for example, I can understand in a quarry district design on the brown one how that lends itself a little bit more to quarry district, but I could also understand how that would look probably pretty bad in university district, right? So I think maybe if you guys give it some thought, whether you consider hiring a consultant for a few $1,000s or not, I don't know, that's up to you and Rick and others, but it would be nice if we had a little bit, if we took just a step back and we could see, the committee could see, you know, your thoughts in relative scale and in relation to other districts. That could help us a little bit.
Yeah. I think that's very good advice. And in addition, you know, how, as part of the presentation, it does come back to this committee, but how it ties into each district and the architectural types of each district. It's kind of hard to see one sign fitting all in this particular case, but yeah, I think that's a great way to put it.
You know, Scott brought up the back of the signs. I mean, that's a great opportunity to just create a simple reference of thank you for visiting the Quarry District, thank you for whatever district that happens to be. So you finish it, but you don't run into challenges of, okay, of exactly what goes on there. It's just, and again, it's going to be dependent upon where it happens to be placed, but certainly it's an option.
And also, if I add my 2 cents, I'm sorry, did you?
No, please.
Yeah, to Carl's comment, which I agree, my first glance thinking, well, maybe the same sign wouldn't fit in every district. However, the other argument might be that you want to maintain consistency too, you know, so that you know you're in Rockland, you know, no matter where you go. And maybe there's a more subtle way to, you know, so that the naked eye, you know, you may not tell the difference, but it's something different. Maybe you use different coloring or something like that or in different areas. But I think the font, I like the larger signal markers, you know, the wider, you know, they're hard to see in the narrower sign. And, you know, so something along those lines, that font, that pattern should, in my opinion, I think, just be more consistent.
And I think that you're, both of you, identifying that section at the bottom really helps with that, Scott, at least in my mind, because you, even if you change the sign, especially coloration or that type of thing, but you have that lower section of the sign that identifies the district. So you use it in multiple areas, but you always have Quarry District, you have the University District, you have the College District. So I think it
that's a good
could
point.
Be incorporated.
I mean, that certainly distinguishes the districts. And then the areas that are not a formal district, they're just maybe it's nothing, it's blank or something.
Yeah.
Okay. That's a lot of sign design. That is not my expertise.
Thank you for your help.
You bet. Thank you.
Okay. I think we're at the end of our agenda. What do we got on there? Other business. So any informational items by staff or by the committee members or reports from staff? It sounds like no reports from staff. So I think we're adjourned.
Before you adjourn, do we know next meeting? Do we have?
Good question. Terry. Do we know anything about our next meeting, when that'll be? Mr. Finning, do we know if we have another, when our next meeting might be?
21st, I think.
21st would be the next.
Yeah.
That sounds right, but I'm not sure.
If we have anything for it?
I'm not sure that we have anything. You know, Terry?
I don't know that we have anything, but that's the date, the 21st.
Yeah. Okay. Since we're talking about that, maybe I could just add to that. I think it might be maybe we could also revisit this time slot for this.
Sure.
this meeting.
Sure.
It's not as easy of a time slot as I kind of thought it would be.
I'm with you.
Yeah, I mean, it just might be something we need to address.
And we're happy to do that right now or offline. But do you have a thought about what might be a little more accommodating?
Well, no time is perfect for everyone, but you know, a little later. Maybe. I don't know, Ken. I mean,
four or five-ish. I mean, could you get later in the day? It's easier for me from a work perspective because I had multiple meetings today, and so it's taken me out of the office multiple times. So if I wrap up and I come here, and if I'd been here at 4, and I know in some cases that may extend beyond your day, but it works better for me. And I don't know, Carl, you're coming from downtown, aren't you?
No, our office is in Folsom.
Okay.
Yeah.
So.
It's probably quicker to get downtown than this in Folsom.
You know,
half the time.
It's I think it's kind of challenging either way, to be honest, because you know, with kids' activities and all those things, they tend to pile up after 5 o'clock. So maybe we propose a couple times and look at.
There's always the early morning. I mean, no one wants to hear that, but doing it something like at 8 or 7:30. Maybe that's a little early, but.
Well, I'll be honest with you. Thursdays for me on a early morning are great.
I'm fine with early mornings as well.
Yeah. Well, I'm just trying to think of a time slot that is good for anyone and everyone as people come on and come off of the committee.
That would probably.
And the public, too. Let's keep the public in mind as well. It needs to be convenient for the public. But 3 o'clock meetings, but, you know, most of the public aren't going to come anyway.
Work.
So, you know, we can shoot you some options, but I mean, just off the top of my head, are you saying like a Thursday as early as 8 a.m., or would you want to push it to like a 9 a.m.?
8 works for me. I'm normally in the office by 6:37.
I'm looking at Brett. That doesn't look like a float your boat.
I'm sorry. I'm just thinking logistically, it the closer to 8 you start, staff to get in and get ready and be ready to start at 8 means we have to be here at 7:30, which is a little before our normal start time. So then you start looking at overtime. They're just things that ruffle through. So, you know, an 8:30 start time, definitely I don't see an issue with that. That gives staff time to be in the office and be ready to start the meeting by 8:30.
8:05.
Sounds like
we will accommodate whatever you need. I was just running through the various scenarios.
I wasn't picking on you. I sincerely, it's no good time, and I hadn't really thought about the prep time too. You know, that
we have some folks traveling from.
Yeah. So that's a good point.
And the earlier you start for the general public too, you know, most people don't expect to be at any kind of official meeting before 8 o'clock, and even 8 o'clock is early. Not aware of any other public meetings that start that early. It doesn't mean we can't do
it. It you know, earlier time may accommodate the applicants who are generally the ones that want to speak.
True.
You know, they're mostly business folks that the morning might work better for them.
Starts their day.
Yeah.
Start here, but 8:30 is fine with me too. So I don't know.
Okay. So we're gonna shoot you an email to confirm. We'll have some internal discussions, but we're gonna target Thursdays at 8:30.
Okay.
Okay. Sounds great. Anything else that you?
Thank you.
Okay, we're adjourned.